Thank you guys so much for being and praying for me this week. I've been fighting a cold and hopefully am on the other side of that, but I appreciate your prayers for me during that time. Today's message is entitled Hope. I've really enjoyed studying and teaching 1 Thessalonians. We've looked at how the church was formed in Acts 17. And just as a reminder, since we've been doing a series, and not everybody's been here, Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and raise from the dead, proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Some in the synagogue believed, along with a large number of Greeks and leading women. It was this group of new followers that started the church of Thessalonica. The Jews became jealous and brought together a mob to start a riot in the city. The group goes to Jason's home, where they believe Paul and Silas are staying. They drag Jason and his brothers before the city's officials, accusing them of a pretty good accusation, turning the world upside down. How would you like that type of an accusation against you? I'd be okay with that. Drag me in front of a mob and accuse me of turning the world upside down, please. What a great legacy to have. But Paul and Silas, they're forced to leave Thessalonica. And so they've left the church. We learned about the believers in the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. They were chosen by God. Faith, love, hope were evident in their lives. They remained faithful, and they served the living and true God and waited for Jesus' return. We learned about the ministry of Paul and Silas in 1 Thessalonians 2:1-12 as they encouraged, comforted, and implored the Thessalonians to live worthy of God. And they did this through how they spoke the gospel, how they lived to please and glorify God, how they cared for the Thessalonians, and how they served the Thessalonians. This morning, as we continue in our series of 1 Thessalonians, we'll be studying 1 Thessalonians 2:13-20, a passage of hope for every follower of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:17-20. And the Word of God says, "But as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return to see you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Now, at first glance, this does not seem to be a passage of hope. I didn't truly understand what Paul was saying here at first. Paul starts out with sharing how he longs to be with the Thessalonians. "We greatly desire and make every effort to return and see you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." However, in verse 19, we see Paul use words like hope, joy, crown, words often used to describe Jesus. He then goes on to say, "Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." So what is going on here? Is Paul saying that the church of Thessalonica, his glory and joy? Shouldn't Jesus be our glory and joy? If we stopped here without trying to fully understand, we would miss an amazing message of hope, not only for the Thessalonians, but also for you and me. Understand that Paul wants to see them again, and he knows without a shadow of a doubt that he will, if not on earth, then in heaven. This is a promise that the Thessalonians did not have before Christ Jesus. And to fully understand this message of hope, turn to Ephesians 2. So Ephesians 2:11 says this, "So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world." Ephesians describes the Gentiles as excluded, foreigners, without hope, without God. This is the message that the Thessalonians would have heard regularly every single day from the Jews. There is no hope for you. You are not part of the chosen. You are excluded. That would have regularly played through their heads on a regular basis. And so the Gentiles would have felt as foreigners without hope and without God prior to Jesus. This is a message that the Thessalonians would have understood, because for the Gentiles there was no hope. But let's keep reading on Ephesians 2:13, because something happens to this group that had no hope. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man, resulting in peace. And he did this so that he might reconcile both God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's households." Church, Christ changed everything. He brought peace where there was no peace. He reconciled where there was no reconciliation. He brought access when there was no access. Prior to Christ, the Thessalonians had no hope, and like them, you and I had no hope. But 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20 would have brought so much excitement to the church. Imagine hearing, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting?" Where? In the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. For the Thessalonians could now be present in our Lord Jesus Christ's presence. Church, this passage is a passage of hope, because it is a promise that when Jesus comes again, those who believe will stand in the presence of our Lord at his coming. A message of hope for the lost. I hear many times, "What is wrong with the world that we live in? Shootings, wars, hatred, intolerance, suicide, sadness, depression, crime. These are all a result of people without hope. What our world needs is a voice sharing that there is hope, a hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. God has chosen you and I to be his voice. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Church, he has chosen us and sent us to bring this good news to this world. Matthew 18, 16, 20 is the Great Commission. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded to you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Church, are you sharing this hope? A hope that God has chosen for us to communicate to the lost. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 26, the passage right before this one, Paul writes about two responses to this message of hope. First is found in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 15, acceptance. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and those who persecuted us. Look at how Paul describes the Thessalonians' response. He says, they welcomed the word of God in verse 13. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which works effectively in you who believe. There is a difference between a human message and the word of God. A human message has no power to save you. Man does not have the power to save. Jesus makes this clear in Matthew 19, 16 through 26. It's the parable of the rich man. Many of us have heard this story where the rich man comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And the rich man says, "Which ones?" And Jesus answers, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your mother and father, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the rich man replies, "I've kept all these things. What do I still lack?" And Jesus says, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your belongings, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And when the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. And so Jesus' disciples are looking at this and trying to figure out what is going on here. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples then are so confused that they look at Jesus and they ask the question, "Who can be saved then?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Folks, salvation cannot come from a man's message. Salvation can only come through God's plan of salvation, through Jesus Christ, his Son. There is no other way except through Christ. Paul goes on to describe this church by saying they became imitators of God's church. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. And if we look back at 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3 that we studied probably a couple months ago, Paul said just right out of the gate, we always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes them as a church of faith, love, hope in our Lord Christ, a picture of what God's church should look like, but often does not. Paul goes on to say that they are willing to suffer for the gospel, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews who were killed, the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and persecuted us. One of the biggest things that we do in our churches is we give this impression that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life will be perfect. You'll have no pain, you'll have no sorrow, you'll have no trials, there will be no tribulations, but that is not what Christ has told us. There will be suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will come. If we preach this word, it will come. People do not like what Christ has to say, and therefore suffering will come for the gospel. But he promises us that it is worth the suffering, just as he suffered on the cross for us. So we've heard what this acceptance looks like for the Thessalonians, but what does this acceptance look like for me, you, and the lost? Go to 1 John 1, 5 through 10. And I'd encourage you guys to bookmark this passage. It is a great passage for sharing the gospel with the world. But 1 John 1, 5 through 10 says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So what does acceptance of this hope look like for you and me? One, recognizing that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So my sin separates me from God. And because my sin separates me from God, something has to happen to make me right. And what has to happen? I must admit and confess my sin. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we must trust him to forgive and cleanse. Again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are here this morning and you feel there is no hope for you, let me assure you that there is. Christ made a way for you and I, and there is not a sin that he cannot forgive and cleanse. Will you recognize your need for a Savior? Admit and confess your sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Paul talks about a second response to this hope and 1 Thessalonians 2:15 through 16. Rejection. They displease God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. And as a result, they are constantly filling up their sin to the limit, and the wrath has overtaken them at last. Look at how Paul describes the Jews that rejected God's word. He says, they displease God. They displease God and are hostile to everyone. He says, they try to stop the proclamation of the gospel. They are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. He says that they have no hope. As a result, they are constantly filling up their sins to the limit, and the wrath has overtaken them at last. Paul writes about two responses to this message of hope: acceptance or rejection. And I pray that you have accepted this message of hope, and that if you have not, that you will. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19-20 is a passage of hope. In 1 Thessalonians 2:20, Paul states that the Thessalonians are his glory and joy, and he is not saying that they are his salvation. Remember, we are not saved by humans, but by God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. What Paul is saying is that he finds glory and joy in knowing that those who believe will stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming. In church, this is a truth that should motivate us to respond. One, by accepting and receiving the word of God if you have not. Two, by wanting to share this hope with the lost that so desperately needs to hear it. And three, by celebrating and knowing that those who believe will stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming, including us. What a wonderful message of hope that Paul gives us in this passage. A message of hope that is not only for the Thessalonians, but for us. A message of hope that we should celebrate. Because once we did not have a way to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, but now we do because of his death, burial, and resurrection. God, we thank you so much for this passage of hope that you have given us this morning. And Lord, I know that there are some that will hear this message that do not have this hope. I pray, Father, that they will accept this message of hope into their lives. That this message of hope will be just like it was for the Church of Thessalonians, a changing message that not only they accepted, but it changed who they were. It changed their life. God, I pray for those who are here this morning who are suffering, Lord. God, I pray that this message of hope will encourage them, that no matter what you're going through, there is hope. And that hope comes through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray this morning that we will proclaim this message to this world that needs to hear it, to our neighbors, to the people that you have placed in our lives. God, we know that your message of hope can change our community and can change our world. And God, just as it changed this church in Acts 17 when it turned it upside down, we pray, God, that that will be our legacy as well, that we turn the world upside down for you. Lord, as we come to this time of celebration this morning, we pray that you will use this message for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.